I'm so excited to take our listeners up to Holland, Michigan today.
And I'm so excited because you and I are heading up there this spring for this festival.
Yeah, that's right. So we're going to talk about the Tulip Time Festival that happens every May in Holland, Michigan.
And there's so much to do and see at the festival outside of seeing all of the beautiful tulips.
Yeah, so we've invited on the show today the executive director of Tulip Time, and she's going to tell us all about what we want to do and see and why we want to come.
It's going to be an amazing time, so get ready, because here we go!
Did you know that 46 million Americans plan to take an RV trip in the next 12 months? 90% of recreational vehicle owners take three or more mini vacations every year. Welcome to the RV Destinations Podcast. If it's RV travel, we're talking about it. From campgrounds to museums to national and state parks, kayaking and hiking opportunities. One of the most fun and pleasurable things you can do is just hit the road. So be ready to be inspired. Welcome in to the RV Destinations Podcast. Now your host, President Randy Beheimer, and Editor-in-Chief, Callie Beheimer.
Hello and welcome to the RV Destinations Podcast. This is the podcast series where we talk everything about RV destinations all across the United States and Canada. I am Callie Beheimer, Editor-in-Chief of RV Destinations Magazine, here with Dandy Randy. He is the president of RV Destinations Magazine.
Dandy Randy, huh?
Dandy Randy.
That's a new one.
It is a new one.
You sit and think about this all week, don't you?
I do. Well, maybe just for a few seconds before I introduce you. But yeah, some of them I do take longer to think about, like the whole R-A-N-D-Y.
Yeah,
Randy is his name-o.
Yep,
yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
Really good one.
We've got a special guest today, though.
We do have a special guest. We have on the line with us Gwen. Okay, so Gwen, I spelled it out phonetically. Awarda. 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 I'm doing so good, aren't I?
You are. It's great.
Hi, Gwen. I'll let you say your last name because we literally talked about this. I wrote it down phonetically and then my mind just went blank. Oh, so how are you doing?
Doing great. We are in the middle of all the last minute planning. You know, you think this is 2 months away and there's not much to do, but there really is. We plan over a year in advance.
Do you really?
For Tulip Time? And some people think we only plan the last 2 months, but you know, it's really a big project.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, tell us some about when Tulip Time is for folks that are like, "Wow, only 2 months left. When is this?"
It's always the first week of May, and you have to look at when the first Saturday date is in May. This year, it's May 4 through 12. And it changes every year, you know, by a day or two as the calendars change and you get to that first Saturday in May. But it's always that first full week.
Okay. Why don't you tell us a little bit, you know, we've got a lot of listeners out there that are listening to the show right now. And maybe tell us a little bit about kind of how Tulip Time, you know, maybe start out with how it developed and then kind of what is Tulip Time. Maybe not go into all the details because I want to leave that for a little bit later, but tell us a little bit of how Tulip Time got its start, you know, a little bit of the history and then, you know, how it's evolved into what it is today.
Absolutely. So this festival was started by a woman named Lida Rogers, and Lida was from the Ypsilanti, Michigan area. She came to Holland as a biology teacher in the local high school, was trying to find a way to connect the school to the community. She recognized that most of her students in 1927-28 were of Dutch descent. So she said, what could we do? She said, let's beautify the city. And it took her a year to convince the city council and the groups around to plant 100,000 tulips.
Wow.
From the Netherlands, connecting the Netherlands to Holland, Michigan. So finally they said, yes, we'll invest in that. We'll spend the money. We'll plant the tulips. And they bloomed in 1929. And that was the first year of Tulip Time.
Wow.
It was run by volunteers for many years and a couple of local businessmen. And through the years, starting in about 1930, 32-ish, things got added every year. So one year they said, well, all the students could wear their traditional clothing for a day. Well, that turned into what we now call our Kinder Parade, which are all the local school kids dressed in Dutch costume in a parade. We added Dutch dancing back in 1934. So it's a folk dance that lasts about 15 minutes. The dancers learn it in schools, and they wear a traditional costume dating back to the late 1800s, early 1900s for something that would have been worn in the Netherlands. So that's how it started. Every year they added more and more tulips. And today there's about 4.5 million tulips throughout Holland community, city, and attractions. Wow.
That's incredible.
That's exciting.
And so, you know, this is something that I wasn't aware of when I first started talking to Ben. And to tell our listeners here, Callie and I are going up to the Tulip Time Festival this year, and we're really excited. We're taking our motor home. But, you know, I originally just thought maybe it was at the fairground and kind of everything kind of happened to the fairground type thing. But no, the whole
entire city
embraces this festival. Is that correct? I mean, so you're going to have multiple shops with things going on, and am I saying that correctly?
You are correct. So the festival lasts 9 days. It covers over 2 weekends because we get a lot of day travelers that are, you know, roughly a 3-hour drive away, a lot of weekend travelers, and we have a pretty large motor coach market of people who get on a motor coach and they stop in Holland and maybe go to Frankenmuth or other locations in Michigan. And so it is a 9-day festival, but every day there's something different happening. Now, the first weekend, for example, we have a 5 and 10K run in an artisan market, along with Dutch dancing, which happens every day, and the tulips that are out and about. We have walking tours every day for 9 days. If you want to learn about the community, walk through Hope College. It's 1.5 miles, takes 1.5 hours. It's on flat land, and you have a costumed guide that will share with you the history and the current today of Holland as you walk around and look at tulips and the beautiful architecture. So there's really something for everybody that we do throughout the week.
Yeah, and some of the things are ticketed, which you have to pay a fee, and then but you could come up there and spend time in the city looking at the tulips without paying any kind of fee, correct? Am I wrong with that?
No, you're correct, because it's an open air festival throughout the entire community. There is no fee to get in like you think of going to the fair. You have to pay a fee and it's all fenced in. Unlike this festival, we have entertainment shows every night of the week, along with two parades and fireworks. So again, depends on what day you're here. There's something happening every single day.
Yeah. And for folks that are interested in checking this out more, if you go to tuliptime.com and then /events, it gives a day by day breakdown of everything that's going on. And literally, you could not come to Tulip Time and be bored. Like, if you are, then you just must be lying face down in a field somewhere, because there is so much going on. I mean, like you said, there's historic walking tours, floral arranging, Dutch dance lessons, a carnival, just so much going on every single day. I love this Tulip Time photo walk, you know, for the photographers out there. This is a great thing to get involved in. So I just love that there is so much around this. And really, I think, you know, Randy and I both had the idea that it was just going to be on the fairgrounds. You walk through a gate, you see some tulips, ta-da, the end. But no, this is incredible. Yeah, I am so excited.
They bring in live acts. The Texas Tenors are going to be there. Scott McCreary is going to be there. They've got a whole live fireworks show. They've got, of course, different fine art exhibits, artisan markets, and, you know, all this stuff. So there's a lot going on there, right? Is that pretty safe to say?
Absolutely. And every day is something. Again, if you look at that calendar, to your point of events, mm-hmm. you can say, well, I'm not interested in the artisan market, but boy, I really like parades. So that tells you what couple days to come throughout the 8-9 days of the festival. So there's a lot to do and think about. I always encourage people to go to the website and look at all the options, because I can't rattle them all off on the phone. It would take me a half hour.
Sure. I just found my favorite one that I'm super excited about. And this is Dutch Dogs on Parade, which happens Thursday, May 9th at 2 to 3 o'clock. So I'm super excited about the Dutch Dogs on Parade. I have to get our little Charlie an outfit, baby. She needs to be in this.
Yes, the Dutch dogs come at the tail end of the Kinder Parade.
Da-da.
There we go. Literally. So we get to watch the whole parade.
That's awesome.
There you go. Right.
You know, Ben and I talk, and what Ben is the director of marketing. Is that his role?
Yes.
Okay. So Ben and I talked quite a bit, you know, and we brought Gwen on the show. You're the executive director, correct? I don't think we mentioned that.
Correct.
Okay. So, but he said that usually 4 days is about the amount you would recommend. Is that correct? Is that how you feel too? If people are going to come up, you know, of course you can stay for the whole show, but you feel that 4 days is ample time for someone to come in and experience all there is at the tulip time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 3 to 4 days is perfect. We did an economic impact study in 2018, and there's at least 500,000 people that come to the city over the 9 days. Most stay 2.5 to 3.5 days. It's not the retiree festival that people perceived that it was back in the 70s. 65 to 70% of the attendees are less than 60 years old.
Wow, that's awesome.
And just to give you a comparison, our city has a population of about 35,000, although we have two townships in the around the city. And there's about 130,000 people that live in this area. So just think of bringing in 500,000 people over 9 days into a community that's, you know, 20% of that.
Wow. Hey, babe, you remember that time that we were driving around the little guy, that teardrop camper, when we first started camping, and I forgot to put the tongue jack up?
Oh, I do. And we hit a nice little pot size hole, and woo, that tongue jack was mangled up.
Yeah, you remember how hard it was for us to find what we felt like was a quality jack? We kept seeing some really cheap ones, and we just could not find the right jack. It would have been great to have known about this company, this next company we're going to talk about.
Yeah, so UltraFab, they are a manufacturer in the RV jack leveling and stabilization world. And they handle everything around those types of products. And they offer really, really quality products. They've been in the industry, in the RV industry, since the 70s.
Yeah, I think they've been around since like 1958, but they've been servicing the RV industry since the 70s. So now, don't they have a great warranty too?
Yes, we're talking like 5 to 10 years on some of their products, depending on what you're getting.
And that's pretty amazing, because I think the ones we were seeing were like 1 year or something like that.
Absolutely. So if you're in the hunt for any type of RV jack or leveling or stabilization products for your camper trailer or fifth wheel, UltraFab is the company you want to check out. You can buy directly off their website or find a dealer that they offer their products through. Their website is ultra-fab.com. Be sure to get out there today and check out their products, ultra-fab.com.
And my understanding is that Holland, Michigan, alone without the Tulip Fest, is a beautiful place to be. It's right on the lake there, and lots to do in general there, even when it's not tulip time. Is that correct, too?
Oh, absolutely. We have fabulous biking trails. So if you're a bike rider, you can get on your bike and go all the way to Grand Haven, which is about 30 miles away. You've got Big Red Lighthouse, which is out at the state park. And the beaches here in Michigan on this side of the lake are sandy. They're gorgeous. You can go see, you know, again, downtown is a really quaint area where every store is full. You don't see vacancies ever. And we have quite the art scene, beer scene. We've got a lot of breweries in the community downtown. So you can eat and drink and check out a lot of art and great shopping any time of year. Our streets are streets and sidewalks are heated in downtown as well. So that
no
means,
way.
Yes, Kelly, it means the snow doesn't stick to them. So I don't wear boots hardly ever. That except if I'm at home.
That is the coolest thing I think I've ever heard.
But that brings me to a good point. You know, what is the weather like in the first week of May in Holland, Michigan?
Well, the weather in Michigan in general changes. Yesterday it was 73. Today it's 20.
Yeah, sounds like our weather here.
Sounds like the Midwest to me.
Right.
But you can typically find the weather is usually in the 70s, low 80s a day, maybe. 2 years ago, it was 90 all week. It has never been that way in the 20, 30 years I've lived here. So it's normally you get you can get anything from a little bit of a drizzle to sun throughout the week. And the temps are between, 55 and 80.
Gotcha.
So for typical Midwest fashion, just dress in layers. That's what we've learned to do over the years. If you are in the Midwest or ever visit the Midwest, you've learned to bring multiple layers, because you can go from, like today, we woke up and it was literally 64 degrees. And now by the time of our podcast here at 11, I think it's 34 degrees right now. So we dropped like 30 degrees in a few hours. It's insane.
Yeah. So there's so much to do. I'm going to put you on the spot, and I apologize. Now, I know there's a lot of things going on, and I don't want to play favoritism, but what is one of your favorite things to do in the show? And again, I know you probably have a lot of people, and there's a lot of fun things, but what personally is your favorite thing of the show?
I have two. One is parades, because I was a flute player in high school, and I love marching and being in a parade. The second one is our tulip immersion garden. Mm. So I met a gentleman named Ebo Gulsen. He's from the Netherlands. He lives in The Hague. And he had this idea to raise beds of tulips, because if you want a picture with tulips behind your head, you have to get on the ground.
Oh.
And so he builds up I call it an installation. It's a little bit like a maze. So there's multiple pieces. You can walk through it. There's going to be four installations and some large descriptive banners that tell you the story of the tulip. Did you know the tulip actually came from Turkey?
No.
And in Central Asia?
I did not.
It was a wildflower, and there was a botanist from the Netherlands that found it, took it back to the Netherlands, and learned how to propagate it into the cash crop that it is today. And so the story tells you all about the tulip and where it came from. And you can walk through a turban that's probably got 10 pieces to it that looks like a turban. They're all about 4 feet off the ground. So then you put potted tulips on top of that, and tulips are right behind your head.
Oh, neat.
Very worth seeing. And with the crazy weather we're having, there's going to be some guaranteed tulips that will bloom in the immersion garden, because they're all being grown right now in a greenhouse. So they're temperature controlled to be able to bloom perfectly compared to the ones that are in the ground. And, while they typically come up and bloom for 21 days around the first week of May, this is a way to kind of weatherproof a little bit of what we're doing.
Now, tulips only stay bloom for like a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, very short.
21 days at most.
Wow.
They're a very hardy bulb. So you plant them in the fall. They don't mind temperature changes. Like yesterday it was 70 and today it's 20. They actually like the cooler weather, even through April. If it gets 40 degrees at night, that's what they like the best. The sun and the warm weather makes them grow tall and the buds and blooms come out. But they can handle a variety of weather with no problem.
So now, have you ever had a season where they didn't bloom on time for the festival?
We did, unfortunately, in 2012. It was very warm, warmer than this year. And we had tulips blooming on St. Patrick's Day. And then the week of our spring break in this area is the first week of April. They were all blooming.
Oh.
And by the time the festival came, there was not many left.
Okay. Oh, so if it starts warming up earlier, that can affect when they start blooming.
It can, because they're all in the ground. So one of the things we have done as a festival is add this immersion garden, because now you're guaranteed to see tulips the week of the festival.
Oh.
We can't at this point in time move the festival, because all the schools are involved. They have half days. All the entertainers are booked. It's just logistically impossible to move the festival and all of its happenings if the tulips come early. So we just embrace it. They're bloom. They're here. They've been gorgeous the last few years, right on time. And we hope this year this cool weather we have today will stay cool for the next 2 months.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So you said, I'm going to go back to one of the, I think you said that 600,000 was planted originally back in 1929. Is that correct? Or did I get that number wrong?
100,000 were planted in 1928. Today, there's around 4.5 million.
Oh, okay. That was going to be my question. How many are there today? So 4.5 million. Wow. That's, and Now, and I don't know much about tulips. Do they put off seeds, and or do you have to physically plant those every year?
We physically plant them every year. The bulb takes about 7 years to turn into a bulb that actually will flower. We get all of the bulbs that the city plants in the local parks, which is around 550,000 tulips, directly from the Netherlands every year. And so they're replanted every fall.
Okay, so they're annuals. Is that right? Am I saying the right? I don't know anything about plants. I'm sorry. aren't there annuals and perennials? Well, that'd be an annual, or that would be a perennial?
Oh, I always get this confused.
I think it was...
Well, okay. They do come back up, but after a few years, you won't get a flower. You'll just get stems. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why we plant brand new ones every year, so that we always have a beautiful display. And roughly 60 different varieties and colors are planted as well.
Okay. That makes sense to me then. So they're technically probably perennials, which means they come up every year. Mm-hmm. It's just you're not going to get the flower every year unless you plant the new bulbs, is what you're getting at essentially.
Correct.
Okay. Well, awesome. One other thing I wanted to cover. So this is pretty much all walkable. I know you've got a VIP tour where they can get on a coach and drive around. That's a paid event. But is most of it walkable, or do people need to get, you know, Ubers or drive their car?
Or can they take a bike? Because I do see that it does say Tulip Time Bikes and Blooms. So a lot of us, is it bikeable?
Yes, it's bikeable. We have a couple bike shops that do rent bikes. If you go to the Artisan Market, for example, or the Immersion Garden, you're going to want to drive. That's about 4 miles, 5 miles out of the downtown area.
Okay.
Oh, gotcha. Now, Ben referred us, I think, to the fairground. So we're going to be camping our RV. So we're a bunch of RVers, crazy RVers here that are listening to the show. Yeah. And so everybody that would be coming up would be attending with RVs, most likely. So they've got the fairgrounds there. Are there any other campgrounds that you know of? I'm assuming you're a local there, would know a few of them, but maybe not. Are you familiar with any, or is the fairground the main area?
There's nothing really downtown in the main area. The Holland State Park is a lovely place to camp as well. And those reservations can be a little hard to get. When you're part of that whole state system, I think those open up in January every year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a few places, but you're going to want a car to be able to get back into town.
Okay. Is that where we're staying? I think that might be where we're staying. Okay. I keep saying,
it's
the fairgrounds.
Ottawa County Fairgrounds. And am I right? This is like on the other side of the lake. So we'll actually drive around the lake to get to kind of where all the festivities are in downtown.
Correct. Okay. So the lake, the city is at the end of the lake, and the lake is 7 miles long from the pier to downtown.
Okay.
And you're on the north side of the lake, about 3/4 of the way towards the beach and to the lighthouse. So, yes, you will want to drive to get back downtown as well. But it's the fairgrounds host the fair every year. They host camping all summer long. And then we use it as well the first weekend for our artisan market. So it's a really great venue with lots of space for things.
Okay.
Perfect.
Looking for a fun, funky retro place to take the family?
You definitely need to visit Cave City, Kentucky.
Cave City, Kentucky is known, of course, for Mammoth Cave National Park, but there's so much more to do in this cave town. You can have a roaring great time at Dinosaur World, or
you can indulge in Southern cuisine, shop for handmade crafts, or even zip line through the treetops.
You might find me on horseback riding through some of the most scenic, beautiful trails in Kentucky.
Be sure to stop by Raven's Cross Village of Adventure, or do some shopping for antiques on the Antique Trail.
For us RVers, there are several different RV parks in the area, including the brand new Dino Valley RV Park, which is conveniently located across from Dinosaur World.
Cave City is conveniently located off of I-65 in between Nashville, Tennessee and Louisville, Kentucky. Book your next family adventure in Cave City, Kentucky now and enjoy this funky and fun vacation location.
Brought to you by Cave City Convention and Tourist Commission.
Well, cool. Well, I've got a couple questions on some events that I didn't click through to see what it actually was. I thought maybe you could share a little bit. So one specifically was On Golden Pond. What is On Golden Pond? Is that I don't know. I was going to take a guess, but maybe not. What is that event?
That's a play based on the movie On Golden Pond.
Okay,
it is put on by our local community theater group. It's in a very small venue. It's an old church and it holds about 100 people. And that play will be happening all week.
Yeah, that was a 80s movie. That was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. Yeah.
I've not heard of it.
And I kind of wondered if that's what it was because there is a picture of the book on there. So I wondered if that's what it was. That would have been probably one of my guesses. Okay. Now, I also see that you've got a Fiddle Fire, which looks like a fiddle kind of fiddle off, if that's a thing.
A fiddle off.
Yes, Fiddle Fire is the name of a local group. They're a local family, all very musical, and they play different fiddles. They do clogging on a wooden platform. They play a variety of bluegrass type music, and they're a delightful group of people. Very fun.
Oh, cool. Oh, okay. And then, what is the difference between the Volks Parade and the Kinder Parade? Well, the Kinder sounds like it's for the kids, and then dogs, you said at the end, I believe. But what's the Volks Parade then?
So the Volks Parade is called the People's Parade. That's what Volks mean in Dutch. So that parade will be full of floats and bands and different walking groups. Our Hudsonville Ice Cream is a local ice cream manufacturer here in town. And they all dress up in the old style ice cream, all white garb if they were an ice cream shop. And they walk down the parade route with scoops in their hands. And they have this whole routine, little dance routine. They flip the scoops. It's as cute as can be.
Oh.
So there's lots of those kinds of things happening at the Volks Parade. The Kinder Parade, as I said, are all the local school children who dress up in Dutch costume. And they have worked on art projects throughout the year. That look at Dutch masters. Fishing was big in the Netherlands. May Day, the maypole that kids, you know, kind of circle around.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's all, every school's got a different thing that they represent from the Netherlands in that parade. And that's got bands, floats, and about 4,000 or 5,000 kids.
Oh,
wow.
Awesome.
That participate in it.
And it looks, you know, it looks like there's a lot of Dutch dancing going on there, but you can also get lessons. Is that correct? In addition to watching Dutch dancers?
Yeah. So you can learn a few of the steps on how to dance. And that's last year we had 400 people in one class. We do it outside.
Wow.
So people just line up in the street and the grass and just learn some of the moves. It's really fun.
And
I have two left feet, so I'm not good at it.
You sound like me. I'm not going to do that. Callie's a former dancer, so but I'm not going to attempt that. And also, we've got a carnival there, so there's carnival rides and everything there for the kids.
Yes, carnivals is opening. The people that run the carnival actually live here in the community, so it's really fun to have them do the carnival. There's big Ferris wheels and a couple of their attraction rides actually have come from the Netherlands.
Oh, neat.
So that's kind of neat. Yeah, very neat.
There just really is. I've been, still on the website at that tuliptime.com/events. And I'm just, you know, going through and clicking on things. You have a pickleball tournament. And I know pickleball is pretty much taking over the world right now. So if you're into pickleball, there is an open pickleball tournament going on during the show.
There's a 5K run. Or I assume it's a 5K. It just says Tulip Time Run. It didn't say 5K, I don't think. But how long is it?
It's a 5K and a 10K.
Oh, okay. Wow. There you go. And what is that, like on Saturday morning, one of the Saturdays, or?
The very first Saturday, it starts at 8 o'clock. It's our very first event of the festival.
Okay, awesome. And then also, you've got some, or at least one boat that's over at the dock. That's dockside that you can tour.
All ship dockside tours, and it looks like that's available quite a few of the days of the festival.
It is the majority of the days. The tall ships come from the Maritime Museum down in South Haven, which is a community about 35, 40 minutes south of here. These ships, actually, they do tours on the water in the summertime. Here, it's just going to be docked, and you can go board the ship, and they're in costumes that fit the period of the tall ships and tell you all about sailing, and it's a really fun thing to do as well.
Oh, yeah, and I'm seeing the pedals in the park, and pedals as in P-E-D-A-L-S. So it looks like a bike parade throughout Collin Park, which is really neat.
It's a family event for families and kids to bring their bikes down and decorate them. And they'll have a little bike parade and we'll have some prizes and think there'll be ice cream and other fun things happening there on that event. And then we have also our biking sculptures that will be in the park. There's about 12 of them that artists are making. I've seen two of them, and they're very fun sculptures with our theme being bikes and blooms. So trying to incorporate that.
That is fun. I mean, there's a ton going on. Right. It's just impressive that, you know, one, Holland, Michigan, from, you know, I've never been there, so I'm excited to get there. From the pictures, looks stunningly beautiful. There's kind of a bit of a like historic district, right? Like a Holland reenactment recreation area that is very, very picturesque. Am I looking at the correct pictures?
Well, our historic district had many of the churches and homes that were built when the city was founded by the Dutch settlers. So it's not necessarily a specific gated area. It's just part of the downtown community. And so you can walk around and see just some beautiful Dutch type brick there. They called it Venneklassen brick. It's a red brick, very traditional from back in the early 1900s, and just some really pretty old homes, kind of the Victorian style, if you will. You think of the two-story homes with the big wraparound porches. And through that historic district, we also have 6 miles of what we call tulip lanes. Mm. So tulips are planted along the side of the roads. There's 2 boulevards that intersect that 6 miles that are all full of tulips in the boulevard and flowering trees in the middle. Definitely worth a drive through that area as well.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
So we, you know, this sounds like an amazing event. Yes. for all you listeners out there. We're going to be up there. Again, Tulip Time, you know, they didn't request to be on our show. We called them and asked them to come on the show because we're attending it this year. In fact, we're going to be featuring it in RV Destinations Magazine in January, I believe, of next year. Well, of this coming year. And we're just excited, thought it was a great opportunity to get some of our listeners out there to attend this festival. So we've covered a lot of ground. Is there anything that we missed, Gwen? Is there anything that we're not thinking of? Do you have like a 10-second elevator pitch you want to say to the listeners here?
We are celebrating tulips, our Dutch heritage, in our community today, which is very diverse, and we love it. And our community comes alongside the festival, filling 1,800 volunteer spots, and everyone's loves the time of year. It's spring, get outside and enjoy some beautiful flowers, and we showcase our city well during that time.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We hope we get a chance to meet you. I know you're going to be busy. Ben's like, don't even attempt to think you're going to see Gwen on Tulip Time days. He's like, I'm like, well, maybe we'll cross paths when we're out there. We definitely are going to try to meet Ben and Amy. Amy's done quite a bit for us as well. So, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we really appreciate it.
Well, no problem, and I thank you for inviting me, and I would love to meet you when you're here. So let me know when you're around, and I'll see if I can make it happen.
Okay,
fantastic. Sounds awesome. Thank you so much, Gwen, for just giving us a wonderful recap of Tulip Time Festival. And again, for everybody that's listening, the Tulip Time Festival is happening May 4th through the 12th in Holland, Michigan. You can go out to tuliptime.com for more information to get tickets and just find more information about what there is to do and see and have fun with at this festival. I want to thank you all out there for listening to us today, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to or follow the RV Destinations podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you find your podcast. I am Callie Beheimer, here with Randy Beheimer and our very special guest, Gwen, from Tulip Time in Holland, Michigan, and we want to thank you all for listening.
Be safe.
Safe travels, y'all.
You've been listening to the RV Destinations podcast. Hitting the road in an RV is one of the most popular things to do nowadays, and it's our passion to clue you in on where to go and what to see. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review, and we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, visit our website at www.rvdestinationsmagazine.com, and from there, you'll get a more in-depth look at destinations for the RVer. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there, and we'll see you next time on the RV Destinations Podcast.